In George Orwell's 1984, Winston Smith recalls, "Perhaps it was the time when the atomic bomb had fallen on Colchester." In 1954, we imagine the events which might have led to that catastrophic disaster and then the nightmare that became Big Brother. Previously on 1954.
Yesterday at precisely 1300 hours, an atomic bomb was dropped on Colchester. The town was completely destroyed and all its inhabitants killed.
I can't put a place on the map any more than I can wipe it off one.
Well, we should talk about the Maldon Massacre then. Don't scowl. You agreed, remember?
Always Maldon.
I said don't scowl. You, more than anyone, your family, your history, your place in history, all down to Maldon.
And he was going off on one about his boss, Tenny something or other?
Mitchell Tennyson.
Yeah, that's the one. Well, he sounds like a right piece of shit to me. You know him.
Episode 3, The Maldon Massacre.
De-escalation of fighting on the Fitzsimmons Islands has continued after the temporary ceasefire yesterday, with more casualties being reported following a shootout between troops from Eurasia and garrison forces.
Can you turn that off, please?
Excuse me?
The broadcast. I can't concentrate.
It's supposed to be on all the time. It's what we do here.
Yes, I know, but I would like it turned off.
I'm sorry, sir. It's policy.
Perhaps we could shut your door.
The door is supposed to stay open.
Don't tell me. That's policy too.
Plans are underway for the country's first election, which will be open to all. Yesterday, there was a protest outside Colchester Town Hall.
How long will Mr. Tennyson be?
He knows you're waiting.
How long have you been working here?
10 years.
Wow. That's some necklace.
Thank you.
On a secretary's wage.
It was a gift.
From an admirer.
That kind of thing.
Do you mind? I was thinking of getting my wife a gift for her birthday. Where did they get it from?
I don't know. Like I said, it was a gift.
Of course. Perhaps I'll ask them.
Pardon?
When we have our meeting. I'll ask him then.
I don't know what you mean.
Of course you do. I'll see Mr. Tennyson now.
Stop. You can't go in there, sir. Sir!
Mitchell.
Carl. It's all right, Jane. I'll take it from here. Would you mind, George? We can do this later.
I don't like being kept waiting.
I have a broadcast to get out.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
Whose idea was it to ask Ogilvy about Fitzsimmons?
It was a valid line of questioning, and seeing as we had access to him for the suffrage story, we thought he was fair game.
I thought we had an agreement.
It was a last-minute call. Happens all the time. We didn't have time to contact you. Actually, I wanted to talk to you about this. The need to uphold our independence. It was fine during the election. It suited both our goals. But now you're actually in power.
Even more reason to carry it on.
We're a government-funded body. We need to have our independence. The public won't stand for it, you know. Look what happened at the Oracle back in 49. And that was just a sniff of the government poking its nose in where it wasn't required. Sackings? Retractions? Took them years to build back the trust. The Courier had a field day. Do you want that?
One day, there won't be a Courier or a Gazette. It will just be you and the Oracle.
Whose stupid idea is that?
Market forces. People won't be able to run a newspaper for much longer. Certainly not a decent one. They'll all be getting their news from you.
You're insane.
Am I?
Anyway, the principle stays the same. No one tells us what to do, especially the government.
That's where you're wrong, Mitchell. I'm telling you exactly what to do. And I'm going to tell you what will happen if you don't. Does Kathy know about Jane?
What?
Your sordid little affair with your secretary. Nice necklace, by the way. How did you manage to pay for that?
Get out of my office now.
Because I know how much you get paid, Mitchell, and on your salary, that is way out of your league. The secretary. As well as the necklace.
I said get out.
I think a review is in order. Just to check the books are all above board.
You wouldn't dare.
Try me.
Is this Ogilvy? No, wait a minute. This is Benson, right?
From now on, everything, and I mean everything, it comes through me. Do you understand?
You won't get away with this.
Do you really want to take that risk? I don't care about you shagging your secretary or even dipping your grubby little hands into the broadcast coffers, but if you ever pull off a stunt like you did the other night with Ogilvy, I will crucify you. I will hang, draw, and quarter, then crucify you. Understand? I said, do you understand?
I understand.
Good. At the end of this week, there's a documentary you're going to broadcast about the Malden Massacre. You're going to run it.
Right. Sure, whatever. The Malden Massacre. Wait, the Malden Massacre? Just before the Colchester election? What are you playing at?
You will run it. No questions. I thought I made myself very clear.
Crystal.
When is this going out?
This Friday.
That quick?
You're my last interview.
You spoke to Gregory Dunn?
Yes, as well as Caroline Temperton and Vernon Bond. It was Caroline who suggested I come and speak to you. Something about some new evidence that's recently come to light that you'd told her about?
She told you about that.
Sorry, was she not supposed to?
I'm not quite ready to go official with what I found.
But you told Professor Temperton what it was?
No, just that I'd found something in an archive which might rewrite our whole understanding of the Malden Massacre and its place in our history.
Well, now I really need to know.
It can't go into your documentary. I need to verify a few things first.
I don't want a documentary going out which could potentially be factually wrong. Wouldn't do my reputation any good at all. Perhaps you can tell me what you've found, and then perhaps I could make a judgment call on the broadcast. Do you think that would be okay?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be fine. As long as you keep it to yourself.
No problem.
It's in here.
You have it locked in a safe?
It's pretty groundbreaking. Could change the fabric of society itself.
Blimey. You historians.
History is everything. The past, obviously, but also the present and future. The Malden Massacre was a momentous period in our country's history. It established and set the tone for the way our country developed in subsequent years. The class system, the divide between the two, and how that works would never have happened without the massacre. But what if it wasn't an uprising by the proles? What if it was something very different? Maybe it wasn't even a massacre at all.
I think the deaths are indisputable.
Are they? We only have reports from the time, all of which would have been scrutinised by the county governor, a very good friend of Charles Ogilvy. There are no graves, burial grounds.
There was an outbreak of cholera. People had to be buried quickly.
That they did. Outbreaks of cholera have always been a very fortunate historical way of hiding people, or the lack of them anyway.
Look, I'm really sorry, but I'm on a bit of a deadline here, and at the moment I have some really lovely stuff about the actual riot, who was involved, the relationship between the brothers, its historical ramifications, right up to this new plan from the government to bring in universal suffrage. So I just need to know what you have that changes any of that.
How about Robert's diary?
The brother who died. Potentially that might change a whole load of things, it being straight from the horse's mouth.
Exactly.
What does it say?
It's what it doesn't say. There wasn't a workers' council for a start, or anything different to other factories in the country. They had exactly the same established rights as all other workers. And as far as I can tell, there were no plans to change that.
You're kidding.
It's all in here, or to be precise, not in here. I can't imagine Robert not writing about something as momentous as changing the rights of workers. But in his diary, it's just the day-to-day workings of an everyday family-run mill, with all the dullness that entails. Robert goes on to write about an affair Charles was having with one of the workers' wives, and how Robert was trying to sort out the situation. That's as exciting as it gets, there's nothing else.
A lover's tiff. That's it.
Possibly. We can only speculate, because obviously the diary stops the day before the massacre took place. But maybe the worker made his feelings known to Charles. Perhaps he put him in his place and it got a bit more serious before there was a fight, and somehow Robert was killed. Unfortunately, the diary doesn't name the worker in question, or his wife. But it could be John Gant, the so-called instigator of the Malden Massacre. What does strike me about this whole affair is that things worked out pretty well for the headstrong young brother in the end. Maybe Charles wanted to get rid of Robert, have the mill all to himself. Greed does funny things to people.
Now you're speculating.
Indeed. But the diary does throw up quite a few serious questions for us to consider, especially as our whole hierarchical society is essentially based on the fallout from what happened at that mill 300 years ago.
A family argument?
It would be rather amusing, don't you think?
I'm not sure amusing is the right word, but you've convinced me on something. I can hardly run my documentary now based on what you've just told me.
I think that would be more sensible. I'm sorry I've wasted your time.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Better to find out now. Perhaps I can have the exclusive when you go official. Do you know when that might be?
Not for a while. I have to have everything verified. Make sure the diary isn't a fake.
Thank you for your time, Professor Henriksen. Would you be so kind as to keep me informed with everything?
Of course.
And it was here on the banks of the Blackwater that history took place. Today, the mill is kept in its dilapidated state to remind visitors and passers-by exactly what took place here 300 years ago and why we can never let it happen again.
Super job. I even like the music.
A local group.
Even better. Keeping it real. Great stuff, Simon. Really good.
It was a social experiment that went disastrously wrong. Two brothers in conflict, one who just wanted to look after the family mill, the other who wanted to change the world.
Ha! Brilliant. Oh, the boss is going to love this. Right, turn it off, I've heard enough.
You don't want to listen to the whole thing?
It's got all the stuff about Robert bringing in a workers' council, giving them a vote on how the factory was going to be run.
Yep, all of that.
And how they took over the running of the factory, nearly put the business into bankruptcy before Charlie came back and took over the running of the place?
Which is when John Gant and a group of firebrands...
Firebrands, great. You used that very word.
Yes. A group of firebrands took up arms and refused to let Charles and the rest of the family into the building. There was a fight, Robert died, Charles just about escaped with his life.
Yeah, we know all the rest. Rioting, looting, raping...
I don't think there was raping. Did you want raping?
Raping would be good.
I've got no one on record saying there was raping. I'd have to go back. Vernon would be my best bet. I'm sure we could.
No, there's no time. It needs to be going out this week.
Just in time for the election. Sorry, I didn't mean anything by that.
You've done a good job, Simon. Let's keep it at that, hey?
Yes, of course. Thanks. I'll just tidy up the edits and send it to Tennyson. He knows it's on its way.
Can't wait to hear it himself.
Thanks for this.
Who knows? Maybe one day you'll be running the broadcast. Oh, before I forget, Professor Henriksen?
All sorted.
And the diary?
What diary?
Very good.
How'd you like my office?
My office now, Mary?
Don't get used to it.
I have at least 5 years.
You think you'll last that long?
The electorate seems to think so. I think it's what we used to call back at school a bit of a trouncing.
I'm pleased for you. No, really I am. But beware the Ides of March.
I'm starting to get a bit sick of these Caesar references. I'm just an ordinary guy trying to make this country a better place. Isn't that why we all got into politics?
Some of us, yes. But while I believe in your best intentions, I'm not sure about the intentions of some of the other people in your party.
This is about Benson, right? Still not forgiven him?
That has nothing to do with it.
Seriously? He told me about Caernarfon, you know.
That was a long time ago, and plenty of water under the bridge since then.
I can understand why you might feel betrayed. Perhaps you thought he might see things your way, politically, I mean.
Our relationship has nothing to do with politics.
Absolutely. And we didn't bring it up at the election.
Meaning you could have done?
Look, honestly, I think it would have spectacularly backfired on us. But believe me, it never even came up. I wouldn't do that to you, Mary. I'd like to think we're still friends and that we can continue working together. Behind the scenes, obviously. I'm pretty sure Benson feels the same way. In fact, I know he does.
I'm not sure. Atlantica?
Ah. That's why you're here. What about it?
The talks. I'm told there are plans to resume them.
Not on my watch.
You promise?
I told you before, we share the same feelings on the matter. They're no friends of ours.
But are they friends of William's?
Benson shares my fears.
That's not what I've heard. He's been having meetings with the ambassador.
I know. I asked him to. While I'm not all that keen to jump into bed with Atlantica, I also don't want to ostracise them, especially with things kicking off in Eurasia.
Fitzsimmons? So they have invaded?
I'll be straight with you, Mary. We don't know exactly what's happening out there at the moment. Reports are more than a little vague. The main communication lines are down, and what little we are getting is coming from a couple of garbled radio messages from unknown sources. We've sent an urgent clarification memo to the Eurasian government, but we've had nothing back as of yet.
You'll send troops?
We could. But it will take them weeks to get there, by which time it could all be over.
You'll let Fitzsimmons fall. The public will murder you.
It makes no sense. Eurasia have never muttered as much as a peep about the islands before, so why would they invade now? Fitzsimmons is just a nothing collection of rocks in the middle of the ocean with no real resources to speak of.
But with more than 1,000 of our citizens living there...
Yes, of course, but I can't declare war on Eurasia on the back of a couple of unsourced radio messages. Not in our current financial state, anyway.
So talks with Atlantica are still on the table?
The idea that they might be, yes. I'm hedging my bets. You would if you were in my position.
If we begin down this road.
What if Eurasia really are interested in picking a fight with us? I'm quite literally stuck between a rock and a hard place.
I told you before. It's tough being PM.
You didn't exactly leave me a lot to work with.
Okay, I deserve that. Just be mindful of Benson. That's all I'm saying. He's got his own agenda and he's a sneaky little shit.
Thanks for the advice. I'll keep an eye on him.
Good evening. This is the radio broadcast live from London. Here is the news. Tension mounts in Fitzsimmons as reports are coming in of the island's governor being executed in the main town square. As the local elections near, demonstrations about universal suffrage start to spread across the country. Esteemed social historian Professor Alexandra Hendrickson dies in a house fire in Cambridge. A fierce cold snap is forecast for the whole of the country later this week. And tributes are paid to the legendary film star Betsy Bergolt, who died today. Hello, I'm Erica Blair. We stand on the brink of war this evening as the invasion of the Fitzsimmons Islands threatens to bring this country ever closer to an all-out conflict with Eurasia. Following reports of foreign troops patrolling the streets of the island's main port, and then an engagement with the Fitzsimmons garrison at the capital, we've now received exclusive news that the island's governor, Harriet Monroe, has been executed in cold blood in the main town square. Fears are increasing for the safety of the 1,000 people currently living and working on Fitzsimmons, with family and friends here setting up a group urging the government to take action. With still no word from Eurasia itself, it's becoming increasingly likely troops will have to be sent to rescue those left on the islands. Earlier, we spoke to William Benson, personal advisor to Prime Minister Robert Ogilvy, to ask what the government was doing about the situation. Mr. Benson, first, can we ask why Robert Ogilvy was not available to answer our questions? Surely, in such trying times...
Let me stop you right there. Erica, Bob Ogilvy is precisely where he needs to be right now, and that's deep in discussion with our military personnel to assess the current situation and do our very best to come to some peaceful resolution.
Which presumably is pretty hard when the other side are not talking to you.
Relations with Eurasia have always been tense between our two countries, but we were hoping to resume diplomatic ties following the election. It was one of our key aims to reinstate their embassy and ambassador so we can avoid situations like this.
So how will you resolve this crisis?
We are looking at all options, Erica, but the first has to be to protect our citizens, to make sure they're safe. We owe it to their friends and families who are naturally worried sick about the reports coming from the islands.
That will mean sending troops, then?
If Eurasia fail to respond to our request, yes, I think that's inevitable.
When will they leave?
As soon as possible, but of course it will take weeks to get there.
Are there any other options?
There is the option of asking our friends in Atlantica to send a rescue mission. They are a lot closer to Fitzsimmons. They also have citizens living there, not many, but a few. So, naturally, they have their own concerns.
Have Atlantica agreed to send troops?
Not troops, Erica, a rescue mission. Let's make that very clear. Atlantica are not going to war with Eurasia.
But they'll have to be armed, if only to defend themselves, if they were attacked by Eurasian troops.
Of course, but I cannot stress this enough. It is a rescue mission, not retaliation.
Thank you, William Benson.
Thank you, Erica.
What the bloody hell was all that?
It was a last-minute thing. You weren't available. We tried to call.
Obviously not hard enough.
I don't see what the problem is.
Carl, is it? Yes? Shut up! Why are you even here?
Just giving some advice.
The advisor to the advisor. Christ, this country is in its worst economic crisis for 20 years and we've got two people doing the same job.
Perhaps I should go.
I think that would be a good idea.
Actually, I would like Carl to stay. He's been very useful helping us set up the welfare force in Colchester.
And look how well that's going. We've only been in power a matter of weeks and the whole bloody world is crashing around us. Mary was right. We're going to be out in a matter of months, let alone years.
You've been talking to Mary?
Yes. She's my friend. We've always worked well together, even after you decided to do the dirty on her.
I don't think talking to the opposition is such a great idea.
No one asked you.
Carl's right. We can't trust her.
Funny. That's what she said about you.
Oh, you've been talking to Mary about me.
She thinks you have an ulterior motive for getting the Atlantica talks back on. And after the broadcast last night, I'm thinking she might be right.
People are starting to ask questions.
One more peep out of you.
1,000 people, Bob, on those islands. Thousands of people who know them. The whole country waiting to see what we're going to do. We act fast. We save our people. We bask in the glory of a job well done.
Not if we start up a war with Eurasia. How do you think that's going to end for our little country?
With Atlantica by our side, they wouldn't dare.
It's all worked out very well for you, hasn't it?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, I think you know exactly what I mean. Well, let me tell you right now, I am not sending any troops to Fitzsimmons, and I'm definitely not going to ask Atlantica to. In fact, I've asked them specifically not to send anyone.
You've done what?
I'm waiting to see what's actually going on out there. I've sent an envoy to Eurasia.
By that time, Fitzsimmons will be completely overrun. Everyone will be dead. The country will never forgive you.
They'll never forgive me if I start a needless war.
You're the boss?
Yes. You keep on insisting that, but sometimes I'm not even sure you actually believe it. From now on, the broadcast interviews me, or at the very least the Foreign Secretary. And Carl, do what you're paid to do and sort out what the hell is going on in Colchester. Now get out, both of you!
That's that, then.
Nothing of the sort. We just need to fall back and regroup.
I think he's made himself pretty clear. We went too far too soon. If he finds out...
He won't. He can't.
But if he does... That's it for you and me. We're finished.
We've got too much to lose not to continue. Those talks must take place, and they will. Colchester is bubbling up very nicely. Atlantica is ready to deploy.
You heard him. He won't have it.
We undermine him in his hometown. That's his rock. Make that wobble and he'll start to crumble. He'll have no choice.
Fine, but Eurasia, the envoy?
Envoys have been known to go missing, especially on their way to Eurasia. I'll have a word with some of my friends. By the time anyone gets out there to see what's really going on, the rhetoric will play its part and the torch will be lit. I don't care what he says about Atlantica. They want this conflict to escalate as much as we do. We just need to make sure the public is on our side, not the great leaders.
"1954" is a Packing Shed production, written by Patrick Marlowe and Neil Darcy Jones. Playing the various characters are Richard Conrad, Neil Darcy Jones, Grace Dunn, Thomas Edwards, Tim Freeman, Ben Jacobson, Charlotte Luxford, Patrick Marlowe and Kate Milner. Music is by At Swiffen's Edge, and the series is recorded and edited by Michael Parker, courtesy of Studio 6 Music.